Last week we talked about how God is the only one who can justify our actions. He's the only one that has that right and authority. And it is His Word, of course, that convicts us, challenges us, and tells us what are righteous deeds and what is that which is evil. So we look to the Word of God. There is a future day that I think we often do not like to talk about, and that is Judgment Day. So that's going to be our lesson for those of you that generally take notes off of the PowerPoint. As you know, the projector's out, so that little projector will work with all the lights out, but not with the lights on. So I'll do my best to say, here's point number one, point number two, and so forth as we go through the lesson. But we want to talk about Judgment Day. That's what I've titled the lesson. So this is a future day, and sometimes we are forced to think about it. I think we think about it at death, when we are at the graveside. We think about it when there's possibly tragedies, because we think of the brevity of life and then the realities of what comes after that. And then there are times like this when we study about it in the Word of God, which is what we want to do. We're all very familiar with Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, which reads, "And as it is appointed unto men to die once, but after this the judgment." So often the point is made, and rightfully so, that there are two great days that we're going to keep, saving the Lord coming, and that is that we all will die, and we need to be preparing for that, and the reality that there will be a day that we call the Judgment Day, this day that we will be judged by God. And it's just as certain as death, God's judgment. And so this day begins, as we know, with the return of Jesus in the clouds, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we understand that that will be the marking of the end of time, and that we will then begin the resurrection that will take place of both the good and the evil, this body of resurrection. And then we understand that they will all stand before the judgment seat. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, if you'll turn to that passage to begin with, Mark chapter 13 and in verse 32, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So it is a day that we just do not know when that day will come. In reality, the Lord could come today. It's not just some fallacy, or maybe He will. The reality is that He could come today. He could come tomorrow. He could come anytime this month or sometime this year. And so the Bible calls us to be preparing and ready for that day and preparing for it. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the first 11 verses there, when you read that, you realize that's the point, that He will come as a thief in the night. And chapter 4, He talks about like a woman who is pregnant, and then all of a sudden she says it's time and the baby is on its way. There are just things that we just do not know. And so we need to be preparing for that day and watching for it, ready for it. Those are words that are used there by Paul to the church at Thessalonica. So as we look at this, we want to look at what does the Bible say about the day of judgment. And there are four things that I want to talk about. And the first one is that all will be there. This is a day where every one of us will be there. It's not like we're going to play hooky and somehow say, I'm going to skip that. It is a day that all of us will attend. If you look at Romans chapter 14, we're going to look at Romans 14 a little bit. We'll be looking at our scripture reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. But if you look at chapter 14 of Romans in verse 10, "But why do you judge your brother?" This, in the context, he's talking about, again, where we're judging somebody, and then he says, but you're doing the same thing, and your judgment is harsh. But look what he says. He says, "But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." All means all. And so when we rebel, and like we were talking in Bible class, if we are someone that is by the wayside, have never obeyed the gospel, not interested, then your knee is going to bow. You are going to confess the name of Christ. That is going to happen. But I've never been to court. I went, I've sat before, I think a class one time was taken and I was able to drive them to sit in on something. And then one of the kids went to a field trip at Tuscumbia where a judge talked to him over there at the courthouse. But I've never been to court. I've never stood before a judge. I've never stood in any situation like that. Maybe some of you have, probably more than I'm aware of, but I just have never done that. But there is, and I hope that I don't, but one day, however, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We sing that song, "Someday I'll Stand at the Bar on High." And so we talk about the judgments, the judge's bench. And so we see this type of picture. And what I want us to understand is that Christ will be my judge. Christ is going to judge me. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we know that the Scriptures clearly teach us that the Father has given Him all authority to judge, and all the knowledge as God and deity, to be able to have knowledge of my record, of your record. And that record that determines our eternal condition. Understand that this is standing before God and Him determining what our eternal destination will be. And that day of judgment will be a day where all of us will be here, be there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, which was our scripture reading. And the same point is made that all of us will be there, because the passage starts off by saying, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." So that is a day that in my mind, in your mind, we need to realize that is a day that is in my future. And so I need to be thinking about that day. As I said, we often don't, but a sermon like this brings it into focus. And we think about this day and we think about the reality of giving an account of my life. My life on earth, from my birth to my death. Well, that's a blessing from God. That's something that God has given us. And again, that may vary. My dad, today happens to be May the 17th. It was on this day, and I did not calculate how long ago it's been, but it's been a long time now. He passed away on this day. So it is a day when I think about my dad just being here and then not being here. You know, he died very quickly. And so those things, when we draw them into attention, we realize that we just have a period of time from our birth to our death, and that is a blessing from God. And my dad was 58, which we would say, oh, that's very young. And I'm 59, going to turn 60, Lord willing, and I think a lot about what will be my end date the older I get. And that's something we're supposed to reflect on and think about. But with the blessing of life comes a future day when our life on earth will be judged before Christ as He sits upon His judgment seat. And what a day that will be. And so I have to ask myself, and you need to ask yourself, well, how am I living my life? What about my life? Is my life really, truly in harmony with God's written word? Or are there things in my life that are contrary to that which has been revealed? Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we realize that we stand before Christ at His judgment seat. And whether I have loved Him, whether He will say, depart from me, I don't know who you are, will be based upon whether or not I have been faithful to the law of Christ or I have been contrary to that. But all of us will experience this day. And this thought centers around something that Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48. And I want you to think about the reality of us being judged by what you have in your lap. and that is the Word of God. And that makes me always stop and think, how much time do I spend in God's written Word, which according to John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days." So Jesus, who has knowledge of our life, we stand before his judgment seat being judged by the word. He says, "My word is what's going to judge you." And will be judged by Christ at the bar on high. Well, second point is there's individual accountability. Go back to Romans chapter 14. Sometimes I'm afraid we can fall prey to the idea of, I was a part of this congregation, or I was a part of this family, and my family was always Christians and good people. Judgment is an individual accountable thing. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." Each of us. You could go around the room and point and just go around and say, you. All of us will give an account. That's an individual appearance, standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Each of us giving an account of myself to God. Me and me alone. Now let's add 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 back into this, which deals with the same matter. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body." Whose body? Your body. "According to what has been done, whether good or bad." So we are judged according to our works, our deeds, whether good or bad. I'm not judged by my wife's. Now there are things that we do together, no doubt, and there's works that we do together. But I will give an account, just as you will give an account, of the things that I have done in my body, and whether or not I have been faithful to Christ. Everybody will receive the things done in the body. And so what that tells me is each of us have a record. And I think the book of Revelation deals with this when he talks about the books being open. Now, we're not going to look at that passage. I've mentioned this before. Some, if you look, they say, well, that's the Old and the New Testament. You're judged out of the law. But Daniel talks about books that are open, and it's like, here's Stacy's book. And in it is the record of my life. And you have a book. And God knows everything about what you've done from birth to death. He knows everything about you. He knows and sees all. And we know that's true because Jesus said he even can tell you how many hairs are on your head right now. And there's not a single bird out here that drops to the ground and God doesn't know it. And so those are things to tell us God knows everything. And so there are not things that we've kept hidden from God. And so because he knows all and he sees all, he's going to judge what we have done in our life. That's why he says whether good or bad. So there's both, the good and the bad. And that truth, that reality, can cause us and should cause us to pause and have deep thought. To really think about our life. Everything I've done good, everything I've done bad, God knows. I want you to look at a passage with me over in Acts chapter 24. This is when Paul stood before Felix. And I want you to notice that in verse 25 of Acts chapter 24, it says, "Now as he reasoned," he's reasoning with Felix, "he reasoned about righteousness, he reasoned with him about self-control, and he reasoned with him about the judgment to come." And what was Felix's response? He was afraid. Do you know, I looked to see how that word is translated in the King James, he trembled. In the American Standard, he was terrified. In the ESV, he was alarmed. Isn't that interesting? It's got four different words, English words. Pick one. Troubled, terrified, afraid, alarmed. This scared him to death. Why? Because what Paul was reasoning with him about is there is a right way to do things and there is a wrong way. Righteousness. And you know what, Felix? There's accountability when it comes to self-control. Why? Why? Because there's a day of judgment where you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that made him afraid. And so what we're talking about is to cause us to pause and to have thoughts about accountability. And we have to do the same. We must face the truth that there is a day coming when I will be called before the judgment seat of Christ and I will give an account of my life. If you look at Romans chapter 20 and in verse 30, it is a message that's found throughout the scriptures. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Each one, individual accountability. And this is very scary because in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, does it matter what comes out of your mouth? But I say to you that for every idle word, Matthew 12 verse 36, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. My words, everything. It's like your whole life has been put down on a video with audio, but you know, even God knows thoughts and intents. That's how powerful the Word is. That's how powerful God is, that He knows our thoughts. And so there is a day of judgment where all of us will give an account. There's a day of accountability. And then there's the third point. It's going to be a just day, J-U-S-T. Not just a day. It will be just, meaning the courts of men get it wrong. They do. A guilty man is found innocent and he still walks the street. But then there are those that are innocent that they're behind bars even though they did not commit the crime. And if you want to know the ultimate error, it's when you do that. And that's the picture of Jesus. You know how many times Pilate tried to say, he hadn't done anything wrong. I found nothing wrong with him. I'll punish him and let him go. I can't find anything wrong. Have nothing to do, his wife said, with this just man. Jesus was innocent. And yet he was found guilty and punished as a criminal. When it comes to judgment day, God will get it right. It will be just. Let's read Romans chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses here. But just follow along or listen quietly. Romans chapter 2 beginning in verse 1. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For when whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish. on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 11, for there is no partiality with God. No partiality with God. So verse 2, the judgment of God is according to truth, which is why I say it's going to be just, it's going to be right. It's not going to be that we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and God says, you swayed me. I had it all wrong. I didn't know that. You know, that was me in my childhood. I tried to talk myself out of every kind of problem that I got myself in to, as if I were the most innocent thing in the world. But we're not going to be able to do that with God. It'll be just. It'll be right. It won't be God got something, he missed something, and you are condemned when you should have been saved, or you are saved and you should have been condemned. He will not get it wrong. The righteous judgment of God, verse 5. And again, in the context, the wicked will be judged according to their wickedness, and it is right for God to judge matters in fairness. And a lot of people don't want to talk about that, like the lady met years ago, stood in her house there in Michigan, right down from the building, and she said, I don't believe in hell. And there's a lot of people just don't believe in hell. Like, God could not do that. He has to do that. He would not be just nor right if he was not just and right. And so, yes, there will be condemnation. And we see again in verse 6 that each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those doing good, indignation, wrath to the self-seeking disobedient, verse 8 and 9. And the bedrock of God's righteous judgment is his impartiality. Imagine, I didn't know it was you. you can bribe me? That's what you do, the judges on a court, and men take bribes. Or they say, you're so-and-so? Yeah, we'll let you pass. It doesn't work that way with God. It doesn't matter who you are. There's no partiality with God. He's not a respecter of persons. And then number 4, our final point is, at judgment, this is when your final eternal destination will be declared. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus has been speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem earlier, and he then begins some parables that begin with the parable of the 10 virgins and how they weren't prepared. And then he talks about the parables of the talents we'll mention in just a minute. But in verses 32 to 46, and we will not take the time to read it, this comes up very often when I'm thinking about things like this. This is the text where he says in verse 32, all nations will be gathered before me. He will separate them one from another. A shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He'll set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And he says the king is going to say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those on the left, he's going to say that they need to depart from me, verse 41, accursed into everlasting fire. But what takes place between that and then at the end of the chapter, after he says the wicked will depart, is he says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink and so forth. And the righteous say, well, when did we do that? And he says, when you did it to the least of these, you did this to me. So there is this, again, this, all are going to be there. There is accountability. There is fairness. And the righteous are called to come and inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world in verse 34. Who are the righteous? Well, in the text, he says it's those whose life has been lived, have lived a life of doing good deeds. In this context, we've been following the Master, and we've been doing to others and treating others and serving others. And he says, when you do that, you're doing this to me. And again, you just see the wicked are told, "Will you depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels?" Verse 41. Who are the wicked? He says, well, those are the self-seeking people of life. Goes back to our parable in our Bible class when we were looking at the parable of the sower. It's those that they're falling prey to the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of life. Who are those individuals? They got self in mind. They got riches in mind. They got pleasures in mind. And their work in the kingdom suffers from that. And then you've got, if you go back over to chapter 25 there, verse 14 to 30, you've got the well-known parable of the talent. The talents and how the master gave according to each his ability. So God knows what you're capable of, and you can succeed with what gifts and what talents he's given you. Even though he's talking about money, we understand that we've all got abilities that vary, and we need to use those abilities. And God knows what they are. He knows what we're capable of. And in that context, in verse 21, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So there is a pronouncement of one's eternal destination. Two places, heaven or eternal punishment in hell. Well, we might say, well, who's the good and faithful servant? Flip back to chapter 24. Do you realize that question was asked of Jesus? We want to know, well, who's a good and faithful servant? Look at verse 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season?" Who is it? "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." Who's a faithful and wise servant, a good servant, doing the master's will? That's who that is, doing the master's will. Who's the wicked man? Who's the wicked that are divided and cast out into eternal damnation? "Depart from me, cast into outer darkness, into eternal fire where the worm never dies, weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, that's the wicked. In verse 30, that's the wicked and lazy servant in the parable of the talents. The wicked and lazy servant. Can you imagine standing at the judgment seat and hearing, "You're lazy. You're an unprofitable, wicked servant. But Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and didn't I do that?" And say, "I don't know who you are. Depart from me. You aren't keeping my law." Remember, individual accountability. So we've got these four things as I think about it. Again, we've got this, all are going to be there. We're all going to have our individual accountability. The judgment is going to be just and right, and our eternal destination will be determined on the judgment day. And that matter is serious. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Do you realize that the Bible says this is an elementary principle? This truth is something that you know. Look what he says. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms, laying on of the hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." Eternal judgment is an elementary principle of Christ. It's what you know, and it's what you build on. You don't go back and have to lay it over and over and over and over again, because you know it. You're going to stand before God. And so you live your life knowing that truth. Judgment day is going to come, and we're all going to be there based upon my deeds and my deeds alone. God's judgment is going to be right. It's going to be without favoritism, and the sentence that he makes will be either to inherit eternal life or to be cast into outer darkness. Judgment Day does not have to terrify us. It doesn't, because we're living our life, preparing ourselves for that day. But if I'm not doing that, it should scare us to death, because that day is coming. If you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, you're not ready at all for this day. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what lies in store for you. Standing before God, and He says, you didn't even obey the gospel. You didn't believe in my Son. You were not baptized to wash away your sins. You are not saved. Depart from me into everlasting torment. Never ending. So if you need to do that, things are ready. If you are a child of God, you're not ready for that day. There's two things that could happen today. You could die, and the Lord could come. Those are days we just do not know. If we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.